New Media, The Final Frontier. These are the broadcasts of The Tomorrow Show. Its mission? To befriend fellow nocturnals, escapists, and dreamers. Not to mention angry loners, the socially inept, and those with Peter Pan syndrome. To boldly go where no broadcast has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Your overnight broadcast featuring one celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis, millennials in Star Trek costumes, and so much more. The underdog's best friend. And all you need is a smartphone or access to the internet. Here's the captain of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro! Right.
Now. I am an anti-Christ. This one goes out to Michael Klaus in the booth. I'm an anti-Christ, Michael. The Sex Pistols. Kevin Undergaro here. Captain Kev. It's a Wednesday night on the Tomorrow Show, bitches. God, did we miss you. Roxy Stryer. Roxy Jillian Stryer at the Tomorrow Show bar. Did we miss everybody?
Oh, damn right we did, Kev.
Terribly. And now, Roxy Stryer, you know the Sex Pistols, right?
I do. My dad loves the Sex Pistols.
Sex Pistols. Bonjour, Juliet.
Bonjour, Kevin.
Do you know the Sex Pistols, Juliet?
A little bit, but not much.
Michael, was this blasphemy growing up as a kid?
Oh, Kev, you know the Rents were just playing this loud and proud in
no,
the house.
No, but really, did this ever play?
Oh, of course not.
No, never. And like,
never.
And if this came up like in school or Sunday school, like this is the devil's.
I left the room, Kev. I would leave the room.
Did you get any rock and roll?
No, not my first probably intro to rock and roll was when I was in high school. Our like the football coach, gym teacher, jock guy always blasted it in the weight room. So it was like Slick Black Cadillac. Stuff like that.
Did you go to a Christian high school?
No, I did not. No.
Did you like rock and roll? Do you like rock and roll?
I now appreciate it for the moments when I work out and like getting me energized and amped because of that guy in high school always played it.
So will you listen to things like this? Like will you hear anti-Christ things when you are working out?
I mean, I probably focus
He's
more
not
on
listening
the
to this. Crank this up. Can we all at least, can the four of us agree on one thing? The devil makes great music.
Yeah, baby,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when I was in high school, I was not into punk at all. I was anti-punk. You know, I was into my Batman phase. I was doing my best to be...
Well, you were Batman.
Yes, I was. So I would think that the Adam West, Bruce Wayne would not be into the Sex Pistols. Although,
no.
He was always very open-minded on the 66 Batman show. He was friends with everybody.
What do you think his jams would have been?
I don't know. Maybe classical. But he was very accepting. Like, whether hippies or whatever,
yeah.
He would see them. He always was, hello, citizen.
That's true. No judgment.
But now that I'm older, I'm like, God, yeah. No. Early punk, man.
What did you listen to growing up, Kev?
I was classic rock. Always. Always music before my time.
Your dad,
even.
Too?
No, they were probably 50s. You know, that early rock and roll, which I admire, too. I like all music now.
Tiny bubble.
In the wine. Yes. Anyway, it's nice to have you know, it was nice to see a Me Too moment go down here in the studio and be handled the way it should be.
Mm.
So, Michael was going to get dressed, get in uniform, and Roxy, and you. So your iTunes listeners, yes, we are in Star Trek costumes.
Mm-hmm,
why
mm-hmm.
still has not been explained. Needless to say, we are. And so Michael was saying, I'm gonna get in costume or something. He said, and Rox, what was your reply?
Do you want to go change together? And I winked at him, and he just didn't even respond and walked out. But we did go change together.
You know what? I love that because... You know, humor and that kind of fun, at least it can exist here. Mm. I know it can't exist really anywhere else anymore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Juliet, were you offended by that?
Kind of jealous I wasn't invited.
See, there you go.
You had already changed or you would have been invited, my love, always.
Wait.
Can the Sex Pistols play again for this?
Oh, of course. Juliet, were you disappointed and jealous from being able to change with Roxy or myself? I just wanted to clarify that.
Both.
Michael, though, I change in the bathroom and he changes in the screening room. And then I have to wait in the bathroom until he's done in the screening room because I'm not allowed to see him with any part of his clothes off. That's the truth about how
it actually
goes
looks like
down.
I mean, listen, I'm a straight male, as you know, but willing to go gay if needed. But, he's got a fine body.
I think I really would like going gay. I just I
could see you doing it.
Well, I think sucks.
I think,
I think
there's more women who do it out of convenience and fun.
Yeah.
Than men.
I would say so too. Well, I think we're just more like, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Because like, if you don't need the dick, then women are better.
It just sucks when you don't need the dick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. And then there are the real lesbians.
Yeah, no, and shout out to the real lesbians.
Shout out, always.
Yeah.
Keep on rapping.
And again, just a shout out to the devil doing his work, right, Mike?
Should we talk about? I mean, I just want to mention very briefly because what we're... Jules, how many minutes into the show are we right now?
About sex.
Okay, 6 minutes in, we've offended the Me Too movement,
yeah,
the
done.
Lesbians, the Christians... Yeah. I'm just trying to check all the boxes here. We want to know how many people we can get.
The devil worshippers?
The devil worshippers,
because it could be some sarcasm
Satanists.
In my tone.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Who else do you think we can go after today?
I don't know.
Because I'm ready for them all.
Yeah, why not?
Come at me, bro.
Like, seriously, bring it, bro.
Bring it, bro. Now we're offending the bros.
Yeah. You don't want to offend the bros. Although, I think the bros are at an all-time... I would say they're the all-time least powerful, but yet, the more they're antagonized, the more powerful the left is making the bros.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's true. Yeah, I was asking a friend of mine this week because, you know, growing up we used douchebag a lot. Like, he's a douchebag, she's a douchebag. But today,
I think the whole world is between dicks and douchebags.
I think so, too, but I was corrected today saying the new douchebag is called a fuckboy. I'm still a little confused on what a fuckboy is, but I guess it's the new version.
I don't know.
It's the millennial douchebag is a fuckboy.
And it just means like he's a dick. He's just a jerk.
Yeah, not like he's having sex. He's just like a fuckboy.
Well, listen. On the Tomorrow Show, you know what a munt is.
Yeah, it's a man. See you next Tuesday.
Right. And that is... I don't need to describe that, right?
No.
That's not a jerk as much as it's... Someone, you know, as they would say back east, a guy who acts like a broad.
Yeah. Okay, so fuckboy Kev. And again, sorry to Bonjour Juliet's mom.
Yeah, no, Michael, block your ears because you're making baby Jesus cry, Roxy.
That's true. Is usually straight and white, and it's a dude embodying something akin to the man whore label, matched up with some basic qualities and to a light to heavy sprinkling of misogyny. So you're going to add that in. But consensus on a singular definition is still a work in progress.
Wow, fuckboys are very layered.
Yeah, very layered. Like an onion.
Like an onion.
Solving the world's problems one Tomorrow Show at a time.
Mike, you were flustered today. I usually don't see that. You're usually the Mr. Spock here, just 6'3" and in command and calm. You came in like a little flustered, like maybe, just for a minute, Christ took a coffee break and let you take the wheel on your own.
I mean, it's good, Kevin, but it's like when there's a lot of things happening.
Too many scams.
You're like, man, what scam do I put first? It's so different. You mean this is your? I now am like getting a glimpse of like your life.
My life, yeah, I know.
I do have a question about taking the wheel that I've been wondering.
Jesus taking the wheel?
Yeah. So, Michael, are you ever at the wheel?
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, 10 and 2. Like
Michael,
maybe
Michael,
I
may,
have
I,
10,
Michael, may,
God
I,
has
may
2.
I please?
Yeah, Kev, please.
Me,
oh, of course.
As a fellow goy, let me talk the Jew through this.
Thank you.
So, you know, Fisher Price, the toy company, makes those little toy driving things. Can you pull one of those up as a little kid? You get those?
Those were the best Hanukkah presents.
And that's next to the steering wheel where the father drives.
Yeah.
And the little kid does that. So basically, Michael is operating the Fisher-Price steering wheel, and Jesus has the wheel.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
So his wheel does nothing, actually, but he still
Again, because, Roxy, the Jewish brain tends to be a little bit more analytical, a little bit more on the nose. You need to come down a little bit to Goy, where there's a Santa Claus, and you know what, where there's a big old man in the sky with a long white beard who is judging our every move. You need to just come down, bring it down a little bit.
Okay.
Okay, just lose a few IQ points.
Got it.
And then you know, you're steering with Jesus, with your Fisher-Price thing. No, this wouldn't be it. That's more of
it's just the wheel part of it.
Yeah, just the wheel. Just, I think you had it in the, look at the picture. I think you guys had it in the previous scene.
Yeah.
Let's see.
It's got, like, the bells and whistles on the wheel.
It's literally, it looks like a dashboard.
Yeah. Any of those.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That's a great one.
So that one... Yeah. So when Jesus takes the wheel, you're basically operating this, and then Jesus has the real steering wheel. Mm. Does that make sense, Rox?
Yeah, now I get it.
Right, you get it now.
Yeah.
Vroom, vroom.
Sorry. Oh boy. Anyway, Mike, but that's not like you to be. You were just, it was, I enjoyed seeing it. I enjoyed, well, I enjoy when I see people become a little unhinged because you see the human side. It was,
yeah, I think I hide it a lot.
It was fun.
Yeah. It's fun for you, which is great. There's a lot going on. It's a lot of good stuff.
Because I want to hear what's going on. But when I remember being, again, you guys are asking me about mentors. I didn't really have mentors, but I did have older males in my life that I was, the universe stuck me with.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget one time I was the Michael Klaus in this carny world, meaning like I was the squeaky clean kid from, the college in a wealthy town in with these mobsters and addicts and ex-cons. And I think it was maybe the second season. It was probably drunken customers were harassing us, and I snapped. And
at the customers?
Yes, and ended up being a brawl, and I got arrested. And I'm thinking like a nerd. Oh my God, I'm going to lose my job. I really need this job because this is my only hope of getting to LA. And like my parents who already think I'm crazy for not wanting to be a lawyer, but wanting to be a writer. And
did
now,
anybody
like,
else get in the fight with you, or it was just you?
It was before Joe. So it was just me and the couple of the junkies that worked there. And they didn't do anything. They just watched. And I was like, oh my God, my life can't get any worse. And my boss not only was so excited, it was just, he thought it was amazing that I snapped. He thought it was amazing that I was one of them. I was human. It was like that Goodfellas moment, Mike, that you had with me when you stuck up for everyone here when that like thug came onto our property and you threw him out. But that was my moment with them, where it was like, no, you like, oh, you, and they, this is how twisted it was. Like the customer's always right. I'm like, no, they're going to sue us. Like these, like, I don't care like that they started and they were drunk. Like I beat their asses. Yeah. And I'm like, where? And it's like, who cares? Like it was just, and that was when it became a pirate's life for me.
Holy
crap.
You know,
like,
Kev.
but they were so happy to see that they made me snap and that I was human. So I'm just sharing that now moment with you, Michael. It was nice to see you slightly flustered. It was nice.
Would you want to see Michael get arrested?
No, because they were dark. They really weren't mentors. It was like, I think they liked me being one of them. It probably made them feel better about their lives. Like it wasn't like that. It was good, but not great.
One and only arrest?
No, then it happened all the time.
Oh.
Because we were set up on street corners where you'd be, oh, yeah, you're here, yeah. Where are the permits? Oh, no, they're going to bring them down. Oh, just tell the guy, we know a guy in the maze office. Just say you know Johnny. It was always that, something like that. Next thing you know, it would be the cops, where's your permits? I don't have any. Like, okay, carts are being taken away. You're going to, I mean, like, constant.
My God.
And then you'd get, because it's Boston and so full of scumbags, you would get guys who'd come up and say they were cops and they weren't. And they would like...
How do you just... in street clothes?
They'd walk up and say, I'm off duty. Whatever. You're not supposed to be here. Who do you know? Really? Okay. Well, listen, you got two choices. I'm going to call this in or we can fix this right now. And they'd look at your apron with money. And a couple times I got taken because I didn't know. They would just...
Yeah, but what are you supposed to do? Because even they could call it in, right?
But they weren't cops.
Yeah, but even if they're not cops, can't they?
Well, when you're a nerd and they'd get me.
Yeah.
It was funny. This one guy did this to me, and I never forgot it. And he was really a mean, mean, very tough guy. And then I found him later as a vendor. He was our rival. And he just, like, laughed in my face when I kind of brought it up. I'm like, that. It was like, pfft, you know. And I ended up, God, it was about 5 years ago, the Red Sox invited us to one of the World Series.
You and Maria.
Mm-hmm. So talk about a full circle. I think it was for the reality show, by the way. So to go from working outside Fenway Park with all these maggots, and they hazed me and harassed me, you know, because it was bad enough my own company, but the outside companies knew I was a college kid. And they were just like, oh, and they hated my boss because we were better than them. We had a better business. And I'll never forget going back there. And, you know, I mean, could I be any more powerful than, you know, back shooting my reality show with Maria? I think it was like, I don't know if it was Dean Cook or Chiklis or, you know, there was other like Boston stars with us. And like ownership is like.
Well, for first pitch, same thing you were telling us, right? That's how you felt when she was doing the first pitch.
Yes. I always, well, now I'm on the field. And yeah, not when I was on the field. But when I remember seeing this one guy and I'm like, you know what? There's one. He's got one coming to him. This guy just, because he was big and he was really tough and he was a street guy.
Still from back in the day. He was same
guy.
He
was there. And I go, he's got one coming to him. Because now, you know, I'm bigger and I'm stronger. And you know what? Like we, you know, he can either, I can either use my tongue or I can use my fist. But it was like, and I just went up and made my way through a crowd. And he was just emaciated, which I think he had AIDS. And broken, and it was just like, can I have a hot dog and a soda?
You were like, he got his 10 times over.
No, yeah, I would never, ever. Oh, I felt even bad. Like, why did my brain even go there? And that guy's why I always say, be gracious in victory. And the last time I went, it was different. You know, and then it got to the point where I don't want to see anybody because I don't want them to think I'm smearing it in their face. So it's always weird because I saw some of them looking at me because we had paparazzi around us and everything, and I could tell they knew who I was, but I didn't want to. I don't know. I just got weird, but needless to say. Anyway, so Michael, what were you stressed about?
No, so we have a lot of things going on at work, mm-hmm. Which is good. We're launching the fourth quarter of the year for apparel is
you sell Rocks Q4.
You sell as much in the last 2 months of the year as you sell in the first 10 months of the year. So we're planning out calendars for all of our clients, and then we're also launching a couple big things. And so right now I'm planning like a $12,000 or $13,000 video that we're shooting.
This is clothing sales, right, Mike, online?
Yeah.
This
yeah, company so do. We do, yeah, e-commerce sales, and we represent a lot of celebrities and social media influencers. But then we're also launching our own brands, so that's one of the things we're doing now. And yeah, we're planning out this video that's going to cost like $13,000 for this brand that we're launching. It's like that's a fair amount of money for risking.
Well, for the company you're at,
For a company totally. Of like, if you're launching a brand and we're, you know, new into launching our own brands, so it's like, oh, we can't mess this up. And making sure that it's going all right and we're doing like an explosion with pyrotechnics.
Oh,
and
geez.
So you only get so many shots at that. And so just making sure that everything goes well. And then
Are you doing for it? Are you
he's
the kind producer?
Of, you feel like you're a director, Michael. Like it seems like creative director.
So for the company, job, right? I'm the senior brand manager. So I'm one of the top people for the company and in charge and now getting more responsibility of like taking over clients, which is great. And then also I'm from a creative standpoint. Yeah, I'm like the creative director for this video from, you know, having the media experience from AfterBuzz and from working behind the camera and in front of the camera.
It's cool that they trusted you with it because of that background.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's all good things. It's just like trying to just get it all organized and be like, all right, how are we doing this? How are we doing this? And then, you know, the show starts on Monday, which is great. I could never be back on Popcorn Talk Network, so very excited
Holla.
For that. And then, Roxy, you and I need to talk about our show that we possibly need to do on AfterBuzz.
Yeah.
And so a lot of good things.
No, and then, Mike, you're going to have more work to do because we'll have a big announcement probably end of October. And just going to be some work behind the scenes we have to do this week.
That's for the Tomorrow Show?
Or yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. So
that transition.
I didn't know if
I
we
just
wanted
added more to your plate.
I didn't know if we wanted to talk about it. I
no,
know
I won't officially
bit
talk about it, but yeah.
Does it include drinking?
Yeah, it should.
Good,
I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. We still should, if we move this to Thursday, we could go back to drinking, but then that's always just challenging press-wise.
Yeah.
Feels like we get more press on a Wednesday. Juliet shaking her head. What, Juliet?
I love the Wednesday Tomorrow Show.
Really?
Yeah. I like the hump day. I like that it's in the middle of my week. As a
break up the
treat.
Scam.
But I do like Thursdays, too. I like both. Well,
we can start now with this new thing. The deal that we're trying to forge is we can do bonus shows.
Okay. We want a Thursday.
Sure. We can go up on a Thursday when we need to. Last night, before we talk news, last night was the this competition. I don't even know the name of it, but Maria
Jeep Wrangler.
Maria, because she got F screwed in life so bad, so cursed in life. Jeep gave her and Alex Rodriguez brand new Jeeps, and they gave them a small budget to kind of pimp them out. And then they were going to compete against one another. Like, who made the best Jeep, basically?
Jeep Wrangler Celebrity Customs. That was the name of the series
that was
competition.
It. And last night, so it was Maria and A-Rod and their Jeeps being unveiled. Really big, big scam. And literally, I thought the Trans Am, my Trans Am is the best car I've ever seen on the road. That's actually a quote from X-Pac. And I agree with that. But man, this Jeep could be one of the nicest, you know, nicest vehicles I've ever seen in my life.
Like, holy shit. For anybody who hasn't seen it yet, go check out Maria Menounos' Instagram. But also you could Google it as well. It's this like bluey teal two-door raised, like, I don't even know if I've ever seen anything.
All custom white interior. And now Jeep's considering doing a line in these colors for, you know, women, pastels, which I think would be great with the white interior because everyone came right up to. So it was DCD Customs, David over at, I think it's DCD, who was amazing. That was Maria. Maria was paired with them. And then A-Rod was paired with the Pimp My Ride guys, West Coast Customs. Mm-hmm. So soon, and then Exhibit was one of the judges. I'm like, oh, we're losing because he West Coast, remember?
Yeah.
And A-Rod's when he came out, I'm going, no, oh, geez, I'm nervous now. But A-Rod's looked like a superhero vehicle.
Yeah, it was DCD, by the way.
DCD.
Yeah.
And but with Maria's, yeah, it's custom color, white interior. They
40-inch wheels.
40-inch wheels. They made the doors a little small. They have an automatic step that comes down. There's a doggy seat in there. There's she's calling it the every girl tray where you can get ready in the car, which is nice for women. And then there's a hatch that comes down for tailgating too. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So but it's great. And
Does she still have to like take everything off and put everything on manually though? The parts that come off of the car, like, you know what I mean?
No, you mean meaning the roof?
Yeah.
Well, in this case, they're going to put on a soft top. And I was talking to David over at DCD and he said, listen, in California, you're fine with the soft top. We have the hard top and you can have it. It's 4 bolts. It's easy. It's not that heavy. And I'm like, I know, but you know, like I can create a chain where it hangs in the carport mm-hmm. and then gets lowered. They have these devices are pretty cheap to make your life easy. But I don't think with this weather out here,
no.
So they'll do the, and now today's Jeeps don't have the zippers and all the other stuff that made them like a nightmare in the past.
Yeah.
So
Kev, you know, I did notice that you got effed.
I got nothing, right?
Well, not only that, where's your, you know, very nice, newly red leather interiored Ford Ranger.
What?
Just got taken out from underneath.
Yeah, no one wanted my 2005.
Oh, the carport doesn't get to be there under there?
Yeah, it got bumped from the rotation.
Got
right.
Bumped.
Yeah,
got
no. Effed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something wrong with the equation where I'm like, hey, you know, I think I might get like a little Mini Cooper for AfterBuzz. Make it black with yellow. You know, like it'd be fun to bomb around the valley with that. It's like peanuts and... No. Oh, okay. All right, Maria, that's cool. How's that $200,000 Jeep you're driving? Oh, it goes well against the $180,000 Porsche you have, too.
Okay, but it's not like she had to pay for it, so...
No. But the Porsche you paid for.
Yeah. Do you think you would be in the...
Yeah, but you,
by the way,
but
and
you
I could
convinced
have that stuff
her
too.
To get
yeah,
that.
Yeah, which is true. But again, and I choose to get the conservative vehicles because I want to put money elsewhere, invest it or put it in business.
Know.
You know, so... But if it's my prerogative, if I want to get a little toy, a little, you know, to play around with. Anyway, why are we digressing?
Did I see Lauren LaGrasso at that?
Lauren, our own Lauren LaGrasso was there rooting Maria on.
So awesome.
She's doing great. She's getting ready to shoot her music video.
Oh,
and,
good.
And she's going to come in and talk to us sooner than
Yay.
Later. It's very exciting. Yeah, it was nice. Ashley also was there. Ashley Grace Daniels.
Oh, great.
Was in attendance there. There she is with Courtney Stewart.
Courtney.
Yeah, the whole team. Yeah, it was like, what a beautiful picture of them. God, they couldn't look any better, those three.
Speaking of Courtney, have you been watching Floribama Shore or no?
Yes.
Are you still doing it after us?
No, because I was away.
After show. That show is off of the chain crazy. Like, Jersey Shore 2.0. I'm recommending it to every single person I know with all the Cotney stuff.
They're
the
more,
kid.
Yeah, but they're more connected.
Yeah.
They're nicer kids. Do you know what I mean? Like the Jersey Shore kids were nicer than the, I think the Real World kids were all pretentious artists that they would put together and always wanted to make me vomit. Sorry, I'm going to offend people by saying that. But the majority of them, Jersey Shore kids.
We already offended all the people, remember?
That's true. We offended. So now I offended them.
Yeah.
The Real World crowd. But with the Jersey Shore, I always liked it because they were, I don't know, they just seemed more harmless and not as pretentious. So I liked them and they've become connected. But these kids all had a lot of traumas in their childhoods. So it's Sally Sosano. She does a nice job. She does a great job casting really for entertainment, but also I think these kids all kind of have a compass.
Yeah.
I mean, Nilsa doesn't really as much. She's more of a narcissist. I'm really getting deep on the show, but because she's surrounded by them, they bring out the best in her too. So I don't know. I really like the show. And of course, our own AfterBuzz.
I've got to listen to the AfterBuzz TV.
Candace Rice is from AfterBuzz. Yeah. And we need to get back in touch, her and I, actually. Remind me. Rox.
Okay. I will.
Remind me.
Oh, I guess you just joined the chat, Kev.
Who?
Jeff Graham.
Oh, Jeff Scam. Jeff Scam, who co-hosted a nice, Tomorrow Show got a hit in Newsweek this week, and I think another couple of publications, because Courtney Stodden, Tomorrow Show regular.
Another Cotney.
And she did her pilot over at AfterBuzz. And Jeff Scam, a.k.a. Jeff Graham, had a sit-in co-host. And Jules, you produced or no?
Yes, I did.
And it was... And she surprised everyone, didn't she?
She really did. She's actually really good on the mic. I'm very excited about this project.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I really like her.
Well, you'd think she'd have an older soul from being that young and being with someone that old.
I would think. And she has a really good intel on just the business, it seems like, and what's really going on in the headlines and what social media is trying to tell you, but what's actually telling you. And she's able to decode all of that. It's really cool.
Very interesting.
She's able to
decode. Apology.
No, that's okay. And actually not decode.
She said a lot of her sexuality is a front.
Huh.
She told me.
No more dickholding.
No. Fake dickholding. I don't know.
Offend.
Is it too early to go to the news?
No, we're good. We can do whatever the hell we want.
Let's do some news, Mike.
You threw him off again.
I was just tweeting out via our social media account, Lauren Legrasso.
Hey, girlfriend.
Oh, letting her know we say hi. Speaking of more shout-outs, we've got our lovely Tammy in the chat right now.
Oh.
Tammy Berg. Other shout-outs, Juliana, you're always great. Drew, thank you for joining us. Todd, welcome. Brandy, we love you, baby. I'll keep trying to give some shout-outs throughout the show because you guys deserve it.
Tammy Berg. Good to, Tammy is a co-host of, I believe, Dennis Hopper with our own Ileana Douglas. And Ileana came through the storm. You know, big, bad Les Moonves is down, you know, and Ileana came out okay. I feel like she needs to kind of put herself out there more now, you know, not be a double loser and hide. I think she needs to go out and talk.
Yeah.
And I think there is, believe it or not, there is enough goodwill in our business. I'm seeing with Mira Savino, I'm seeing with others who are like, you know what? Like, we need to start giving these people chances again for what was wrongly taken from them.
Giving the people who were
victims.
Survivors of, yeah,
true
not,
survivors.
The, not
survivors.
The people right. who were doing it.
Yeah.
Because you saw, like...
The people who are doing it, listen, I keep saying, guys, let's just get that private jet. Let's go over to China where they're not going to give two shits about what you did here. They're just going to want to make money, be successful.
Go be somebody else's problem.
Go over there. Yeah. Go over there and make them put Hollywood out of business and go live your life. But
I just can't believe it. Like, Bryan Singer already has a massive project, Red Sonja. It's like, what the actual...
What was his scam? I don't even remember what he did.
Molesting children. So, you know. He's been accused of having sex with a 17-year-old, of
girl
trying... Trying with multiple others. There's like he was fired off of Bohemian Rhapsody because of what they found, and now he's been hired to do Red Sonja,
but in a good way.
Yeah. But
all right, I know you don't want to hear this, Rox, but I still think 17-year-old boy. I just think of myself at that age, and whether it was a guy or a girl.
14-year-old boys came out. I mean, like we're talking all ages.
Did he rape them though?
that they're, I mean, allegedly.
He raped.
That he sexually assaulted. I don't know, like, what level.
That's not cool.
Yeah, there's, no, and, cool. and dozens of accounts have come out about it. And, like, some of them are not naming, that some of them are young enough that they don't have to say their name.
So where some of these other people are mud, how come, why did he survive, you
think?
It's
the alleged part, I guess.
Oh.
I don't know. I mean, he was literally ripped out of the project with 3 weeks left to shoot. And also, Hollywood's worst kept secret has been Bryan Singer. Like,
interesting. Should we take it about Bill Cosby, Mike,
well,
on that note?
No, I actually think it definitely transitions well into our first story, which is that all eyes will be on Washington, D.C. tomorrow because of the Brett Kavanaugh hearing.
There's a lot of smoke there, Russ.
So he is scheduled to testify tomorrow along with the first woman who has accused him. And he's now been accused by three different women of sexual allegations. First one, who is Christine Blasey Ford, who is a college professor here in California, will be testifying tomorrow.
Let's hope she gets persecuted properly after this, Roxy. Make a note, please.
So three women have come forward. Kavanaugh, in case you have been hiding under a bush, he is President Trump's nominee for the open Supreme Court hearing. And so they're both testifying.
I think I'm off Team Kavanaugh now.
Judiciary Committee.
I think I'm off Team
really?
Kavanaugh.
Really? Did you guys hear?
Three people. Yeah, you know what else? 100%. This is and this is really like bad of me to say. The Democrats, they just notoriously have been whiners and pussies, but then they have not been good about lining up, say, three phony people. Like Republicans, are good at being shady. Like, I'm just saying, typically they're better at being shady and getting the three stooges to go up and say things. I just,
Kev Logic is amazing.
But I'm just
Kev
telling
Logic.
You know what?
Kev, I'm going to be persecuted for this.
No, it's okay.
But there is a great story in the New York Post, in case you want to look it up.
Three people, though,
eight
Mike.
Eight big problems in Ford's story. And they're huge holes that it and it's here's the thing. I
but what
say
about
this,
the other two sluts? I mean, women.
Their stories are less credible than hers. I would say Ford is the most credible person, and Ford can't label the year. She can't label the day. Can't label the month. She's listed that four other people were at the house party. All four have denied that any party even existed. She put forth a letter saying her credibility. Her mother didn't sign it. Her father didn't sign it. Her brother didn't sign it. People have reached out to dozens of people. Her best friend said that she literally has never met Kavanaugh. Her friend who she was at the party, who labels her as a lifelong friend, says that
The husband? What about the psychiatrist? What about all the other references that she has?
Funny that you mentioned that. In 2012, she doesn't actually mention Kavanaugh, and there are details that are different from what she's saying now versus she said in 2012.
You're saying in 2012 she doesn't mention to who? The psychiatrist?
She doesn't mention Kavanaugh's name as psychiatrist. She also says there were four people.
The psychiatrist
people
said that
hold
she did.
Hold on a second. She also, of the notes that they have, she said that there were four people in the room in 2012. Now she's saying there's two people, and then she also changes up another very important detail from 2012 to now, saying that, I was really worried when Trump was elected because they mentioned Kavanaugh. He mentioned Kavanaugh being a Supreme Court pick. That was actually not mentioned until late 2017 versus 2016. There's
years. Read Michael,
this story.
I read it. Okay, I read the whole
question
thing.
Question before.
There's eight big holes.
All right, wait, because I want Roxy to respond. I have a question though, Roxy.
Yeah.
And it is somewhat important. Earlier you said, I want to get naked with you, or something to that effect,
right,
with Michael.
Right. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Go to a bar, whatever you're drinking. Michael is an arch conservative, but you're lonely. You just want like a fun white night stand. Are you okay?
Is a white night stand? A white guy?
No, it's a like one night stand. Okay. I'm sorry, my bad. A one night stand. And I'm just saying, you know, because I know how much you are averse to Michael's opinions.
It's not Michael's opinions. It's that opinion.
Okay, so
not because it's Michael's.
Okay, but he's got those opinions that are similar.
90%
of
the time, he does
push your buttons. But we're out drinking.
Yeah,
and we're lonely, and like you know, you've
Would
already
I go
said,
for him?
Yeah, we just for one night, and who cares? No, or you can't get by this.
The first night I ever met Michael, sure. Now, I could literally never. I could never.
But we're drunk. We've been drinking our whiskey.
I could be on the
he
floor.
He looks amazing.
He does look amazing. He's a gorgeous looking man. Right? He's a very hot man. You can't be attracted to somebody that you disagree with as much as we disagree every aspect of life.
That's when the conflicting sexual tension comes into play.
Juliet, who's a little bit closer Gen Z than millennial. Juliet, your thoughts.
I can't think anything more enjoyable than having sex with someone you dislike.
Like hate sex.
Yes. I hate that.
Ooh.
Ugh.
Okay.
I don't like hate sex.
See, Todd, Mike is a virgin, so I don't know how he could even speak to this.
Well, I could do a hate makeout sesh.
Would that be fun?
I don't know.
When I was in my 20s, I could have given a crap less.
I think I would have
guy,
cared.
Who can, honestly, as a guy, you just, this is what morons we men are, what just animals we are. It's I could give two craps less about their opinions, whatever. Yes, to date them or, be in a relationship with them, maybe. But
to have sex with?
Just done. Great. Let's have fun. Move on.
Women are so wired so differently. It's not fun to have sex with somebody that you don't want to have sex with. For guys, it's fine to have sex with people you don't want to have sex with. Obviously, there's a vast generalization because, if they're hot, they're hot. You've told me that a million times. For women, it's not like that.
No, sadly.
You can arbitrarily say a guy is very good looking and not want to have sex with them.
Actually, it works in our advantage because we don't have to be hot to get hot girls,
which is great.
Yeah,
you can be funny,
even
a personality.
Thank God.
Totally.
All right, so get back to the mic. Someone respond. Mike, was it you?
I just want to say that I think we're heading in a very dangerous direction of guilty until proven innocent and not the other way around.
So you said.
True dad.
And I feel that, with these...
But this is a lifetime position, guys.
No, I
kind of feel
that.
You got to play a perfect game for these
Kev,
slots.
100%.
What the game that I think is being played is you're putting forth these things that are impossible to prove. And what stops it from the next Supreme Court person, from the next person who's for House or for Senate or for President of a baseless allegation decades later and you can't prove it false?
Why do we have another two, though?
Kev, but they're just as baseless. The New York Times said of the second person, Ramirez.
The Times refuted this, by the way?
The Times said we can't run this story because we interviewed dozens of people who do not corroborate it. They interviewed dozens of people, couldn't find one that said that this was true. The New Yorker ran the story.
Is it corroborate?
Corroborate.
Okay.
But the New York Times said, we interviewed dozens of people. We can't run this story because we haven't found anyone credible who says this.
Here are the 50 things that I have to say. Number one, was I there? No. Was Michael there? No. Were any of us there? No. Number two, did you hear what Trump said today?
I did. Super impressed.
I actually quite enjoyed his press conference. I thought it was good.
Me too.
Want to get some inside info?
I was very impressed by the fact that he was giving himself an out tomorrow in case he would like to take it. And what I do like, I have so many qualms with Trump, but one of the things I do like about Trump is degaff about what anybody around him says. He's going to make a decision that he makes. It does not matter what anybody around him says.
There's also the thing with him, too, is that he does so badly want to be popular.
Yeah.
And he also...
Kind of.
To whom is the question, right? But he also... anytime it appears like he's being manipulated, even with that one time he stood up to the NRA, he was like, they don't know me. Nobody owns me. It was a good... So, but here's once I was going to offer some inside information about this. I have heard two sources that I cannot reveal that his daughter and his wife, but especially his daughter, Trump's daughter, has very strong opinions of her own. They are not in line with his. Many of them. Not all of them, but many of them. And she's thinking more of the next 60 years, which he's not going to be around, for much of that. And is exploring ways to differentiate herself and also how to communicate to him. So that's some inside scoop that no one knows but Captain Kev.
I can see that.
Yeah, me too.
And I think so, but I was encouraged because, God, this guy's had so many opportunities to just flip the script.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Mike, I agree with what you're saying too. I know if I were going to be a judge, oh my God, there'd be a parade of people that would come up. But okay, but that's why I'm like, that's never going
to
happen.
Maybe you're not right to be a judge, though.
That's right.
And, no, and, my main point, the main argument that they keep trying to make here is about how this is being investigated. And that's all that I give a shit about. This needs to be investigated. Like, we don't need to be on somebody else's clock. We don't need to make very quick decisions and not thoroughly investigate a situation. Let's investigate the fuck out of it and figure out what's happening. And that's what she was asking for. And she wanted the FBI involved. She threw that out there.
I think it's being done more than people realize just because the FBI isn't specifically doing it that we know of. I mean, the FBI does a lot of things. But the Senate Judiciary Committee, like they said, for this situation with Ford, she listed four other people that were allegedly there. They've reached out and gotten statements and gotten information about all of those people. And granted, yes, the FBI didn't reach out to the second person that we know of. They might have. But the New York Times, who would love to be able to break a story like this.
I mean, can't be any more left than the Times. That makes me raise an eyebrow.
And so, and I get this situation. Obviously,
you're welcome to raise an eyebrow.
Obviously,
I think
in this
you
situation,
should raise an eyebrow. I think it should be investigated. And also, eyebrow raises
and I'll
mean
also admit,
the FBI should be involved.
And I'll, obviously, in this situation, it's a man versus a woman, and it's a man trying to get in. I guarantee I would say the exact same thing if it were a woman being nominated and a man would come in and say, 30 years ago, she did blah, 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 blah. And evidence. They're innocent until proven guilty. And if you're not providing
facts... You have to have the chance to prove somebody guilty, though, Michael.
But you need facts to be able to refute, and they're not providing any facts.
How long are they giving them to be able to make this? Who are they involving in this decision, Michael?
That Ford lady can't name the street. She can't name the house. She can't name the day.
Michael,
she can't name the month.
I guarantee you asked 90% of people who have been sexually assaulted, and they cannot name the street, the year, the day.
They can't name the year?
I guarantee you.
The year.
By the way, I'm going back to college. I'm younger than these guys, but I wouldn't be able to even tell you the street that my party house was, my own house that we had
it's
massive rangers in.
It's a ridiculous thing
in.
To say.
Okay,
the
never
street
be able to say
is
that.
Far, but the year, don't remember the year.
Michael, I don't remember the year of anything. The year that my mom died. Talk about major trauma. The year that, and by the way, talking about people who have been sexually assaulted, they don't remember the year. Trust me, Michael. It's not what you think about.
There's no facts to.
Well, here's I don't know. I'm torn on, but it just tears me up. And I guess I'm just saying it's just safer not to. There's a lot of people who could use the job. It's just safer to not go with them. And I guess I have charges up too because it does concern me about having a bunch of conservatives. Even though I lean conservative, I do. I'm not conservative. I'm moderate, but I lean a little conservative.
You do lean conservative,
but I also don't think it's a good idea. When it comes to the law, I mean, conservatives on a bench just scare me, to be honest. I don't like when they let bad people go, like Elizabeth Smart's kidnapper. I don't like that. But at the same time, the you know, control over women's bodies and just all the old fogey stuff that I don't think has done much good for us. So anyway, but that's just me admitting my thing. I don't know.
Well, let's move on to someone I think we can all agree with. Definitely was a pervert. Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby.
Yeah, do we take him off our website now?
Yeah, I guess we have to take him off.
Hey, if his star wasn't removed from the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
It's still there?
Know. It's still there. They voted and they said we are not taking it down. So he was sentenced to 3 to 10 years in federal prison. And from what TMZ is reporting, I mean, it doesn't seem like a raw deal. He's almost being treated like a superstar. Both by people in prison as well as those who are guards.
Oh, TMZ's going to stop.
And so he was sentenced to 3 to 10 years. He was also labeled as a violent sexual predator, which means that for the rest of his life, when he gets out, that he will have to register as a sex offender, which will go to neighbors, to schools, to anyone
which,
in the area.
Whatever, he's Cosby, so that's not going to matter.
Kev, what kind of conditions do you think, what do you think prison is like for him?
It's not going to be, these civilians, it's prison.
He's definitely a target.
And he's not going to be, usually sex offenders are targets. He's not going to be, I don't think, because he's famous and because of his race, because black people, again, I'll go out on a limb here, have been fucked with so much that when it comes to an outside force coming at them, like they did with OJ, they circle the wagons and go, yeah, he's an asshole, but fuck you. And he's famous. And guess what you do if his people have half a brain? As I was talking to a big agent today about this, you know what you do when you're him? You're supposed to give a briefcase or an envelope to the leading gang in there. That's it. And you get your protection. And that's usually how it goes down. and I don't want to name names, but I know the famous people who've been in there, and I know some famous mobsters have been in there, and that's what they do. Nice little package, we call it, Rocks, back in the day, gets delivered, put in the various canteens, various family members outside are taken care of, and you get your protection. Mm-hmm. So with OJ, he didn't have to do that. He was amazing in fantasy football. He was adored. He was the juice. Cosby, I think it's going to be the same way. I don't care what anyone says. But he's still in orange. This is a guy who's lived like a king. I mean, I had heard his jet was so lavish. And I mean, like, crazy, like white rugs. And by the way, anytime you have white rugs and, you know, white seats, to me, you're a baller because it's impossible to maintain.
Hey, by the way, what color seats in Maria's Jeep?
White.
Another, by the way, we are joined right now by Jared at 34.
Jared at 34.
Who,
miss you, buddy.
Asks, over or under 1 year until old Bill croaks?
Yeah, it's going to take its toll on him because he's gone from this kingly lifestyle, which is now going to be taken away. You know, you have someone who tells you when to get up, when you can go to the bathroom. He's going to be in a very small cell, you know, probably limited access to different things, you know, internet or TV. So
limited access to women also. That must
You know, I think that won't be as bad at 83. He's gotten a little weak in that department. But this is not going to be fun for him. Relax, everybody. You know, his legacy is destroyed. This is not going to be like a Fatty Arbuckle, you know, later in life. It's like, oh, you know, he did great work, and actually he was found innocent years later. You know, it was too late. It's not going to be one of those things. He's ruined. He's decimated.
What do you think of...
I'm not saying he doesn't deserve worse. I'm not a judge. I'm just saying that this is not a good thing for this guy to go away for 3 years. It's not. And he's, by the way, he's almost blind. So it's not going to be a picnic for him. But he's also not going to be tortured either. But believe me, in his brain, no. He's going to hell. Sorry, Rox. Go ahead.
No, why are you sorry? What
I was
do you
born
think?
Sorry,
with
I'm Catholic.
That's so true. With the movement, with the Me Too movement and everything going on today, everything coming to light, how do you think Michael Jackson would fare if he was still alive?
They'd attack him for money.
Because nobody's obviously going to investigate somebody who's no longer
at risk. Unless you get some smarty pants who wants to go after his estate, which is bigger than it's ever been. Hmm. So no one's thought of that, so I guess. But if someone thinks of that, they would add gas to that fire for sure. So just how it is.
Well, speaking of illegal activities, that gets us into our next story, which in California... that it will be illegal for sit-down restaurants to provide straws.
Nice.
Straws to any dining customer. Again, that's sit-down restaurants coming in 2019. Jerry Brown, governor of California, signed this bill last Thursday. Now, this, again, is only for sit-down restaurants. So fast food, you're still okay.
Nice. That's all I'm good with my people.
And technically, sit-down restaurants, they can provide it if you ask. But you need to ask. They can't immediately provide it. Now, there hasn't been much listed of what the punishment necessarily would be, but we can certainly look from previous cities in California who have done that, such as Santa Barbara, and their municipal code says that they can get a fine of $1,000 or imprisonment not exceeding 6 months.
I think this is good. We kind of need it. It's a mess out here. This place is just a big giant...
Something about the seals.
But everything, it's just, you go to other states and there's more respect for here. It's just, it's such a transient culture. Nobody treats this place like home. It's everybody's garbage disposal and toilet. So I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with this. Honestly,
I will say, everybody's got their causes, right? And I go to bat for a lot of things. Everybody's got their scams.
Thank you.
But I'm somebody who I do a lot of good for the world. I pick the things I like. You know I don't give a shit about the animals. I'll eat them all. I don't mean that in a mean way, but it's just who I am. I'm a carnivore. And this isn't one of my causes. I like my straw. I like a good straw. I can't deny it. All my friends have been trying to get me to buy these glass straws and keep it in my purse and bring them to restaurants. I like a straw, so they're going to take it, fine. It's somebody else's cause. I'll play along.
That's basically how I feel. But I think it is
a good thing.
But it's definitely annoying. I will tell you that I recently, months ago, got some nice metal straws.
Mm.
And I use those, other than the fact that one day it's probably going to take out one of my teeth. They're great because they're machine washable. You know what else? There's a company that does hard pasta. You've seen this?
No.
Yeah, I saw those. They're like what pasta straws.
It's like a, it's just a big hard piece of pasta. If you boiled it, it'd be a noodle, but you don't boil it, and you can use it, reuse it over and over, and it's pretty cheap and it's disposable.
Yeah, I think they're going to start making really cool, classy ones, like fancy ones, bedazzled ones for people. And I hear that they're going to be a big stocking stuffer for you this year at Christmas.
Oh, no,
Michael.
You didn't. Does Jeff Graham, were you to ask Jeff Graham, does he have a goddamn start date for Christmas starts in September? Because I'm starting to feel like Christmas is not going to start in September, and I'm not going to be able to do my podcast, my vanity podcast.
We're working on it, Kev.
Thank you.
So while this straw thing may seem like a millennial thing that we are for, maybe against, there is something great that millennials are doing, and that is actually lowering the divorce rate.
Hey!
According to a recent study, the divorce rate has dropped 18% from 2008 to 2016, and a lot of people think that it's because of Generation X, because they're being pickier about their partners and delaying marriage until their careers and finances are stable.
It's a good scam.
Do we really credit millennials for this, though, Kev? Are you giving credit to millennials?
No.
Who's Gen X?
If Gen X is not millennials, so it's the Gen X that would get the credit.
Well, so Gen X, I think, is partly millennial. I think it's like half.
No, I think that.
I think it's Gen X. Let's just say that Gen X is getting credit. They got to get credit for something. To me, they're even worse than the millennials, because at least the millennials have causes they seem to care about, and they're less racist and all those other things that Gen X is.
Gen X is born in the mid-60s to the early 80s. Yeah. So that's not, right after that.
They're the biggest mess. Mm. Although, again, parents of the Me Too generation are the founder of this delicious feast. Horrible job.
I think we've talked about this before, and I think, Roxy, you might have named like a couple of your friends. Do you think people sometimes go into marriage planning it not to last? Or have you guys heard friends?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is the new thing. Roxy talks about it all the time.
My first husband will be like this.
Yeah, yeah. Or even when we've known people engaged at AfterBuzz, like, yeah, good first husband.
Yeah, good first husband.
I'm like, what?
By the way, it's a real thing.
Great scam.
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, the final story of the night is for people, if you are getting engaged and married, if you want to take a honeymoon, you can now take the longest flight in the world starting in October, 19 hours from New York to Singapore.
Wow. It's the first time there's a direct flight from New York to Singapore?
So there was a previous flight, but it got canceled, and now there is a new Airbus plane, and it travels 10,000 miles. It's 18 hours and 45 minutes. The previous longest current was 16 hours from New Zealand to Qatar. But man, can you guys imagine 19 hours on a plane?
Yeah.
In first class, I can.
19 hours?
Not in low class.
It's called Xanax.
Yeah. First class, I can. It's actually fun.
Yeah.
The longer flights, I'm like, wait. This is the vacation. I remember saying, I don't need to go anywhere. You're like, you're on the right airline, first class travel over to overseas. Forget it. You're watching movies. They're bringing you cocktails. You're in your own little pod. You're being waited on hand and foot. I'm just like, okay, land. Let me go back to the terminal and go back home. That's my vacation. Best part. It's the flight. Just saying.
You're right, though, with the pods, though. I think it's like Dubai Air, or it's one of those really fancy ones with the suites.
Before I die.
No. Let's stop it. You're in your 20s. When I was in my 20s, please. I even think there were times they stuck me with the luggage. So don't give me that.
I don't need it now, going back and forth.
I drove across country. I'm saying you're going to have many times, Juliet, but get there so you have something to look forward to in life. You're not supposed to do it in your 20s unless you're Roxy.
But that was the last time I traveled first class was when I met Kevin.
I know. God, that's Rox.
Which was
I felt like I brought the goy.
I know.
I brought the goy to you. Stripped you of your Jew powers, your money, your high living.
Hey-o.
Your braveness, your boldness.
But you gave me the best friend and mentor I've ever had.
Wow.
Look at this picture for anyone who's joining us live. This is in the sky. This is a queen-size bed.
They have showers in the sky. You can take a shower in the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah, 19 hours in this wouldn't be terrible.
Listen, it's the one thing, most days I'm in a pickup that's 14 years old. When I was back home, I was in a 20-year-old van that's all rotted out with no AC or heat. But I will say this is the one thing I will not do. I will not Mm-mm. I'm like, there better be a big bag of money on where I land if you want to get me to fly low class.
My dad, too.
Same
my
thing. It's the one thing I won't
my
do.
My dad was like, I worked my ass off.
Yeah,
I'm
not
never
happening.
Flying coach ever again.
Nope. Unless, again.
He won't go.
I'm still an old carny. If there's like a giant meeting or a lot of money on the line, something super important, again, I'll still ride with the bags, as you saw me at the dump 19 times when I was back east at the crack house. But if those things aren't on the line, no, nope, I'll just stay home. You know, I tell Maria, like, Maria's been flying first since she was 22, and early on in the relationship, she's like, well, do you really need to? I'm like, okay, no, we're not going to play that game. Like, I'm taking a ton for the team here, but that's not happening. So
when was the last time Maria flew coach?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Huh.
It'll be a long time.
You guys are taking Spirit Airlines to Greece,
Spirit
though, right?
Spirit Airlines, yeah. Right in the back. By the way, yeah, Spirit Airlines is amazing.
Oh, you're making a joke.
Oh, my God.
Spirit is cardboard. Like, the seats are legitimately cardboard.
The new
cardboard.
Seats
they're
are
tiny.
Worse. They don't recline.
They're amazing. I actually...
Oh, I never
you know
recline
what?
On a flight.
This is weird,
because, so
again, how my brain works with madness, I probably would do it with the right people just to laugh.
Yeah.
At how deplorably you're treated on Spirit. It's unbelievable. We did one time by act. I remember having to fly Phil and Joe. We were going to do a shoot in Vegas. And it was just Vegas, 45-minute flight. So I'm like, all right, the hell, we'll just. And it was last minute. This is all that was available. And it was like, and Joe's a giant guy, 6'3, 6'4, 250 pounds. He was violent.
Yeah, it's
Kev, this is what I flew to Minneapolis.
Oh, no.
It literally is a metal chair with a
piece
of...
Mike.
Oh, my legs are in the seat in front of me, Kev.
I mean...
Brutal.
But one way, that was like $120.
Yeah, but you're coming up the ladder. This is what you do.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is what you do, guys. And by the way, I'm still willing to do it, but this is where I draw the line.
But
and
you
I,
don't
but I'd
have
still
to
do
anymore
it.
Because of what you did.
But if it was a giant meeting, if it was like Spielberg... private meeting with you in New York. Okay. I'll go on Spirit.
I think what you do, and I realize this, I think for my next one, because there's like Sun Airlines and Frontier, you do that, which is cheaper, but then you bump it up to first class for like 30 or 40 extra bucks, and you actually get a somewhat decent seat.
If there's, here's the thing, Mike, you're rolling the dice because you get there and they go, I'm sorry, there's no room in first class. We're sold out. Because you're not the only one with that scam.
That's true.
So, yeah, it's definitely a big roll of dice.
But isn't that the best way to live, Kev? Just rolling the dice and just seeing what happens?
Anything but this. This is the one thing I'm like, no. No. Too many days standing for 30 hours on pavement in the carny business. A decade of what I did to my body. Not interested. No. In my very long body being stuffed in some seat. Pains hit my body that I'm not used to anymore, and I'm like, why am I doing this, you know? No, so I just don't. It's just like, I'll stay home. It all looks better in the screening room, guys. I have a nice recliner in there, my little babies,
a
right?
A nice recliner.
We have a few nice recliners, right.
Yeah,
listen, I'm an older gentleman. I've worked hard for these amenities.
True.
I'm still willing to work for them, and I'm willing to lose them. How about that, Rox?
How about them apples,
I always say, well, nice one-bedroom apartment. As long as it's safe, nice clean area, I'm good. Got my flat panel on the wall. I'll make a little bar in the corner, Rox. Come over, have happy hour with me.
Yeah.
Great scam.
I have certain things I need.
What do you need?
Dishwasher.
Absolutely. Yep, good
washer,
one.
Washer, dryer.
Yes, bigger than dishwasher.
Yeah, because I don't have time to go to laundromat.
Dishwasher I'm okay with because I do the wash and go program. Even with the dishwasher, I just in the habit of I wash and go as I go along. So I'm okay. But dish, yes.
Yeah. 100%,
no, there's no being with civilians with your quarters or at a laundromat. Or no, the less you have to deal with civilians, the better you're going to be in life.
No cockroaches.
Well, again, safe and clean.
Safe and clean. Yeah, and safe. Those are my
safe.
Those are my ones.
That's it.
Dishwasher, washer, dryer, no bugs.
If we live together, I'll do the dishes. You don't have to worry. Safe, clean, washer, dryer.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't want to be without one. But that's why we have them at AfterBuzz for the kids.
Yeah, it's true. But because I have to wear like 6 outfits a day because I'm always changing for different jobs.
Right.
It's like I literally do a load of laundry every other day. So if I didn't have one on unit.
No, and you're smart to do it every other day.
Yeah.
Because everyone else
builds up.
That's right. Oh, children. I feel like On this episode, I feel like we've learned even less than we normally do. Sorry to say.
No.
But listen. Wait, 1 hour? Oh, my goodness. Really?
Should we teach them?
Kev, I feel like you say we haven't learned a lot, but I think everything that we talked about tonight was so interesting and entertaining.
Well, I'm still on the fence about Kavanaugh because of your arguments.
I'm not saying that.
I think tie goes to the runner in the other way, meaning if it's a tie, then we take him out.
I'm not saying that Michael's arguments are wrong. I'm saying that I want this to be fully investigated. I would like to know more.
Full same.
Yeah.
I just fear the precedent, and not with this, that this is setting of guilty until proven innocent.
I fear that, too. I fear that, too. And, like, some people, for example, like Ed Westwick, I do not feel confident that his career is being ruined for the right reasons.
Who's Ed Westwick?
He was in Gossip Girl, and somebody came out with allegations against him, and I feel like they were not fully vetted. It's just one example of somebody.
I'm glad
that
you're saying that, Rox, because I still feel with Hardballs, this from back in the day, Chris Hardwick, I still feel that that was just a bad relationship, and he was a dick of a boyfriend, if it's true. And
that's what I've said, though. I don't want to watch him.
And she could have broken up. That's it. Don't watch him.
And I won't.
But to destroy the guy's life, he's not a rapist. He didn't beat her up. He didn't, you know, we don't know behind the scenes.
And his life hasn't been destroyed. He's got a show back.
He's got it back, but I think he's got a black eye. Don't you think he's you're negative, so you will say not. But
no, I think he does have a black eye.
He's a little dinged.
I mean, I think there's certainly a ding. I think anytime something, you know, there's the line of a lie can get halfway around the world before a truth has a chance to wake up.
I think
so. There's always a ding.
So I think the general public rocks. He's passed, but I think those rabid fans he had, I think there's a portion that's probably turned on him a little. I don't know. I'm not like Stern that I follow.
Here's a question, and this is something I've thought about long before the Kavanaugh thing, and I think Trump actually made a point of it today. Do we think that good people will not want to run for politics or for offices knowing how much their names are always dragged through the mud?
No, I don't think that at all.
I think that that's been going on forever, you know, where always the concern is that, you know, we're not going to get. I mean, sometimes Boy Scouts aren't really the best people.
Oh, it's true.
Because they haven't experienced life. They haven't made those mistakes. They haven't. Like, your dad is not a Boy Scout, Rox.
Yeah.
But because he's not a Boy Scout, he's a leader I want. You know, you want someone who's been banged around a little bit, who's made those mistakes and learned from them, where sometimes when you get these super nerds and they only see things one way and they're squeaking. So that's a little scary, too. But I think, I mean, listen, Trump pulled this off, right? Meaning, I mean, listen, you know, I feel like we're proving that. I don't know about being a judge, but I feel like for politics, we're proving that outsiders, I mean, it should be proven now that outsiders with crazy pasts can get in.
I mean, I'm talking about the good guys who are like, I don't even want to have the risk of an allegation.
I think that's been going on forever. Yeah. They always say that a lot of successful people, the reason they don't run for president is they're too smart. That's why I always say there's not a lot of Jewish politicians, Rox.
I think it'd be the equivalent of, do people want to be actors anymore because their names might get run through the mud?
I would use an example of Oprah. This is why I don't think Oprah would ever run for president, because her popularity is so high right now, it wouldn't be worth it for old stories to be brought up and drug about her.
I think Oprah is not the rule. She's the exception to the rule. But
I think The Rock would run.
I don't think so.
I think so only because, Mike, he's so young. He's achieved so much. Like, what's next?
Kev, do you think he has stories from his wrestling days that he doesn't want getting out?
Tons, sure. But I think that Trump showed that you can steamroll everybody.
But everybody hates Trump.
But it's not like running for office.
We say that everyone hates him, but
it's not like running for office is the only way they would get out. The Rock is massively famous. If there's a Me Too story about him, it would be now.
Yeah. And I feel like he'd come out ahead of it. And
do you think our generation is going to, with time, going to be a little bit less, like, desensitized? It seems that everything's out in the open. Everyone has a dark past. And are we just going to turn a blind eye a little bit
like
more?
Yes, because think about when Clinton smoked pot. It was like, I didn't inhale. And that was such a big deal. Now it's nothing now.
So and Obama admitted to using Coke.
So I think we are getting better. It's scary, though, because the biggest thing is we get higher and then we get lower. And I think that people are... The scariest thing is the left and the right are just digging in deeper. That's the scary part. So the people that judge that stuff, Juliet, are going to judge it harder. Mm-hmm. You know, and same with the other side. It's like, that's what's just so scary. It's just this... we got to win. Our side has to win. And not even hearing the other side, no real exchange, no compromises. Yeah, in both sides, you know, both sides of it. It's not just the crazy right. Believe me, the left is just as crazy right now.
That sigh says it all.
Right? Yeah.
Thankfully, we had that property out east, Kev.
Yeah, we still have we've got our 60 acres for everyone to escape to. Listen, but you know, I think what everyone still has to remember in your daily microtransactions, and I know, Roxy, you're going to tell me you'll have something to say to refute this, but in your daily microtransactions, does any of this stuff really affect us? Other than what we're reading, other than the social media shit.
Which stuff? The Me Too stuff?
No, the heavy left and the heavy right. And all of a sudden, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, and I don't think...
Well, like, Jet's wife is going through immigration issues right now, and my family's, like, very heavily affected by that. So that's been a huge one
for us.
Okay, and
you know what? That also goes for people who work for me.
Yeah, for you.
And
that's that affects you.
Just like her family is of means, and your family is of means, our family is of means, we're going to figure it out.
Yeah, but you don't think it affects you?
I think it does, but... Okay, how many other people can say that, though? Okay, so you got me on that, but I just think
so much of this
other stuff.
I know what you mean. I don't think it affects me as much as other people.
I don't think it affects as many people, period. It's just more stuff where... psychologists say like 80 or 90% of the stuff we worry about is bullshit. Completely useless. Maybe even 95%. None of it comes to fruition. And... I think it's just a lot of this stuff is just more stuff. So, yes, obviously, if this is affecting what is affecting you directly, so if this is affecting Jet's wife, okay, put your attention on it. Got it.
Yeah.
I have people whose names I don't want to mention that are very close to me and family that are going through this. Fine. We focus. We deal with it. But putting all of my focus into all the stuff that just really doesn't affect my life, which is earning to take care of my family and take care of my loved ones around me. And I'm not... saying not to be socially aware and active and to vote and all those things are important. But if you really break it down to what is really affecting us, I mean, come on, how many people rocks are in their parents' basement that are just online all day? Just typing away. Yeah. Really, they affected?
You know, a lot of them not.
No. And half of them, it's like, you know what? Go out and work. And if you were working, you'd have less time to do this. You could pay some taxes. I mean, you know.
I think though, Kev, some of it is about preventing from being affected. Like, you know, it was a really, it was a very real.
Well, again, you go to Germany and they didn't stand up to Hitler, and I get
right.
That.
Right, and
so
like
there is a time for that.
The right, a woman's right to choose, is very much. People were worried when Trump was elected. Were worried about who's going into the Supreme Court. People are concerned that abortion is no longer going to be legalized.
But
state
what
to
can
state
we do to stop
federally.
Kavanaugh? You have to just leave the powers that be. Like, what can any of us do?
There's
a petition signed.
I'm not saying
it.
Even necessarily people can do things, but I think that people are worried about what will affect
them. But
gay people are worried about what will affect them.
Okay, and who have now the right to marry, and you know,
right
now, but also, come on, is there not more acceptance for the gay community than ever? That is not going to regress.
Not if the one side doubles down, the other side doubles down. There's more acceptance and more hate.
And the hate's going to be there, but it's at the point where a movie like Love, Simon, for example, great movie.
You saw it?
Yes, I loved it. It was beautiful. But what was really important about that film was that people did not go to it. The younger generations did not see a gay film. They saw a coming of age love story.
I agree.
So it is changing, just like inhaling pot is no big deal. It is, but if you want to focus on all the bad and all the negative and all the worrying, all you're going to do is age yourself, get sick, get cancer. It's useless. There's a time to fight. I get it. But again, not affecting, you know, not affecting people in their day-to-day. If it is, then focus on it. If it's directly, right now, your family's being affected, okay. Put the focus in, which you guys will.
Yeah. And
you will
and
come
we
out.
We
and you will come out of it, believe
oh, yeah.
me, as I will on our end. But, you know, you got to save your bandwidth for the problems that are real in your life, because there's always going to be problems in life, but also, like, I just... It's not healthy for you physically. It's also not healthy for your mind to focus always on that negative and the negative and what if and this could happen and this bad thing could happen and then this and that. And we know, we've talked about on the show, it's proven that you are going to will that to happen in your world and in the rest of the world. This doesn't mean being naive. And again, I'm the first to say, a Hitler, you got to just kill a guy like that. He's not going to stop. He just has to die. I get it. There's time and place for that. But I just think a lot of this stuff doesn't really affect us like we think. I mean, I was talking to one of my therapists. This guy's world renowned and going off about Trump and this and that. I said, okay. But giving the guy therapy, I'm like, okay. But don't you see we went from just a couple of elections ago where no one even was voting. No one even cared. There was such a decline in voting, Rocks. From the 60s, so alarming to my generation, 80s and 90s. Obama raised an awareness where people got back involved and felt like their vote could make a difference. And Trump, for all the darkness he's bringing, there's a lot of light coming where people are waking up and going, you know what? Like, I want to be involved now. I want to vote. I want to get the right person in there. I'm like,
but you're telling them not to be involved.
I'm saying vote. I'm saying, but to be obsessed about it and to really have this affect your day and to be all on your mind and all on your social media and all that, like, you've got to feed your microtransactions, I'm sorry, are much more important. And if we all focused on those microtransactions, which was doing what we need to for ourselves and our families, and then also microtransactions, even for strangers we come in contact with, we'd all be fine if everyone was just decent. But there's so much energy and attention that is going to places that really doesn't need to be.
And I are on different sides of this coin.
I just proved it to you. You have your one thing, fine.
No, but it's
That's
not just
true.
That. It's like, you know, the poem, then there was nobody else left.
Well,
when they came
I know,
for me.
And they came for, right, and there's a time for that, but you have to disseminate when that time is. You know? So, fine, if there's a protest against Trump, go out and do the protest. Go do your protest, then come home and live your life. But the fact that I just see so, like, this one therapist, Rox, I just can't get out of my mind. This guy's world renowned.
Yeah.
Like, he's flown into all these countries first class, and because he's amazing. But at the same time, like, dude, and this and that, and Trump, and this, and he's like losing his mind. And I'm like, you don't know by now that the sun still comes up and still goes down, and mankind makes mistakes, and then figures it out and then makes more mistakes and just life goes on. And it's just, but if you're focusing on all this badness and darkness, oh, that's what you're gonna have, you know. So, and believe me, I'm not into the hippy dippy.
No, but you're talking about energy, and I agree with.
And I'm not into the hippy dippy thing of like live and let live, and oh
no, I know,
like, yay, there's room for everybody in this world. And no, like, no, there's people who need to be smited, you know. I agree with that, but I just, so much bandwidth people are putting into things that aren't directly affecting their lives. And then when I look at their lives and how they're living, I'm like, well, who are you to be attacking anybody? So, and I know, Rox, your microtransactions, you're great. You do what's right for your family and your friends and your employers. Like, you're amazing.
I try.
But what's left for you?
Michael in the booth really agrees with you. He wrote in the chat, preach, Kev.
Thank you, Michael. But I'm saying with you, but Rox, but with you, with all that bandwidth you put out, and you put out so much bandwidth for your friends and family. You're so amazing. Your employers, like, you, and you're doing this business in the honest way, which means you've got to work way harder. If there's anybody who needs to keep some bandwidth for herself, it's you. And if you want to come to me and say, like, I sometimes will go to Maria, like, Maria, do I need to? Because I got to a point where I was fighting everything for years.
Yeah.
And then I just stopped. And I just go, Maria's like my compass. I'll go, Maria, do Do I fight now? Oh, yeah, go get him, Kev. No, Kev, you're good. Come to me and I'll tell you what to fight for, what to worry about. I can be your compass. But you put out so much, Rox. Marie and I are both worried about you. That you're going to just blow up. You're skinny as a rail. You work your
ass off. I'm eating so many cookies.
We're just nervous because look at Maria, and she got very sick. And I just, if there's anybody I think needs that lesson, it's you, because you do everything else right. But I also know there's a group out there that is as invested as you are in terms of the social welfare stuff, but isn't doing any of the stuff you're doing.
Yeah.
They're in their parents' basements.
And I think that's really wrong.
I think that's the majority. Really I think you're the minority.
Tammy says that she agrees with you about not getting swept up in the drama of it all.
Yeah, there you go. See, Tammy's got a high IQ. Her and John are the smartest people I know. Her husband, John Comerford, and Tammy Berg. See, Tammy.
Robert says, this is why I enjoy the show so much. So many great points of view on both sides. We appreciate that. Drew says that he thinks that we should vote a comedian into office, like Chris Rock or Adam Sandler. See how that one goes. Why not?
At this point, why not? Why not? Sun will still come up and go down.
I love this live chat. You guys are amazing.
You know what's so funny? And I remember in the days of Bush, Shane, who could do worse? Oops.
Everyone.
The things you put out there. Can't be any worse than Bush. Oops. Well, we really ran through the gamut. I think, Tammy, you're right. Without the drama. Without the drama. Save your fight. There's a time and a place, Rox. You need your
I haven't learned it yet.
Well, you need your bandwidth. You already put enough bandwidth out for other people. You need your bandwidth for you, my love. You know, and the other people need their bandwidth for themselves, but not to self-care, more self-work. Does that make sense?
Yep.
All right. It's at Roxy Stryer. It's at The Only MC. It's at Bonjour Juliette. It's at Undergaro. We'll be back next week, you guys. And then the young crew of the Enterprise will be taking over the Tomorrow Show for an undisclosed period of time.
Hell.
But you guys do a great job. It's a lot of fun. And I'm sure we'll miss you, though. And we'll get some great guest stars in here, too. Yeah, we've been keeping the guest stars off the couch as we're realigning. But, end of October, we'll be coming out strong. All right. Have I left anything out, Roxy?
We should tell them to make it a better tomorrow. So there's that part.
There's that part.
Did you say add Undergaro?
Yes. Let's do it emphatically, though, Rox. Go ahead.
Do your best to make it a better tomorrow.
Booyah!
For guest bookings, questions, or comments, you can email us at info@thetomorrowshow.com. Be sure to follow us on social media and tell a friend about the show. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, your voice of tomorrow, wishing you a better one!